3, 2, 1.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 20s in 20 podcast, where we cover everything you need to know about your 20s in only 20 minutes. I'm Mallory Metz, and this is As Good As It Gets.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of 20s in 20. I'm Mallory Metz, and today I'm so excited for our guest, so excited for our topic. Today, in our virtual studio, we have Alana Molstein. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are.
My name is Alana Molstein. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I grew up severely battling with my weight and my eating, and as early as 4 years old, I found myself like binge eating jars of peanut butter, whole boxes of chocolate, and entire loaves of bread meant for the entire family alone in the kitchen while watching television. And it became a huge problem. So at early as 8 years old, my parents and doctor sent me to weight loss camp, so also known as fat camp, that you may have seen on MTV. I went to weight loss camp every summer starting at 8 years old. I'd lose 30 pounds and I'd gain like 60 back in the school year. I'd go back to camp, lose 30 pounds, and I would just go ahead and gain back 60 pounds in the school year. And it became this really bad and vicious pattern that was only making me further and further from the goal until I topped off at 215 pounds at 5'2" tall at around 13. And that's when I realized I wanted to overcome this struggle and not bring it with me through high school and my adult life. So I started bringing in and implementing some things that were working in weight loss camp and in my nutrition classes every summer into my school year. And slowly but surely, I ended up losing about like 60, 70 pounds on my own throughout the next high school years. And everyone started asking me what I was doing because I was making it look somewhat easy and effortless because I had just a really good system that was really positive on my hands. And so my friends' moms were asking me, my friends, everyone, and I wanted to make sure that if I was giving nutrition advice, I was the most credible state to do so. So I went ahead and became a registered dietitian, which is considered the utmost expert in nutrition. I went ahead and also got my master's degree in nutrition and health communication to help make sure I could really effectively communicate what's working and a weight loss system and solution that is truly simple, sensible, and sustainable. And I was hired right out of school by UCLA, started leading a weight loss seminar there to hundreds and hundreds of their employees, and the results were outstanding. My private clients were getting better results than they had done doing, you know, hundreds of other fads and diets and other things in the past. And I realized I really needed to scale this. And I also needed to make this, you know, proprietary and in a way that would really suit my future best. So I actually, when I was in my 20s, at I believe 27, I trademarked my favorite four words: water first, veggies most. And I actually did sell that. And I spent all my 20s basically creating what was working in my private practice and at UCLA into a program. And I partnered with Beachbody, which are the leaders in at-home fitness, like programs like P90X, Insanity, and so many others. And we've been able to really scale my program and a means that it's now accessible to over 2 million people on the Beachbody platform. And it's helped like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people at this point. And I wrote a book early last year and it became a bestseller and it's super exciting. And now I'm really working hard on helping other dietitians and nutritionists be able to do the same, you know, be able to take their education and practice and be able to make it more of a career for themselves while they're able to help more and more people, because that's been such an incredible transformation in my life. So I'm super busy. I love everything I do. I'm very fortunate. I get to work with really big companies like Ninja Blenders and SodaStream and all these great things and really help people change their lives on a daily basis. So that's me. And I have two children and a husband. So I not only lost my 100 pounds, but I did it through having my kids. I loved my 20s and I'm currently enjoying the little bit of the 30s I've been able to experience so far.
You know, I'd love to go through. I have some tips I want to ask and get your perspective on. And the first one is really, how do you make sure that you're staying accountable with your goals? What's the best methods you've seen work for some of these people you've worked with?
Yeah, well, when it comes to weight loss, I'm a huge fan of the scale. I know it sounds controversial and everyone tells you the scale is toxic, but I have the opposite view based on science and research that avoiding the scale is actually more toxic. In my opinion, obviously a lot of people think that going on the scale can be something harmful to a person's mental state, but that's really only if you think that the number on the scale is going to dictate your self-worth, which it obviously isn't. It's really kind of similar to checking your blood pressure. It's a number, it's an objective number, and it's really showing you what's working and what's not. And so if you believe that pizza and donuts and fries are your favorite comfort foods, and then you go on the scale when you're trying to lose weight and you see that you actually went up 6 pounds, it really helps put things in perspective and help you realize, wow, those foods are actually not that comforting for me at all. And a lot of people think that going on the scale is gonna make you think that you need to eat less, but it's actually quite the opposite. With my program, my 2B Mindset program that you can learn at 2bmindset.com or reading my book on Amazon, you can drop it. You actually learn that it's when you eat more, you tend to weigh less. When you have more filling and satisfying foods and you fill up on the right things, you actually can see the scale go down. The scale is not only something that can help someone lose weight, but it's most important. And I'm so happy to speak to a younger generation. It's so important for preventing weight gain. I constantly speak to a new client who gains 60 pounds in a single year. That might sound shocking. It's actually really easy to do. To gain 5 pounds a month is super easy, especially if you have no sense that it's happening and you're wearing stretchy pants and staying at home. So going on the scale like once a week or something like that can be beneficial, as long as you're pairing it with a program like mine that's showing you that eating more can actually help you weigh less and you don't have to eat less to weigh less. I eat tons of food and I love food. I've just figured out how to eat a lot and have it work best for my health. Heart disease is the number one killer of all men and women. So I'm just going to bring that up because it's February and I'm on the board of the American Heart Association executive leadership team. And, you know, heart disease kills more Americans than all cancers combined.
Wow.
So breast cancer, lung cancer combined. And of the top five things you can do to prevent heart disease, managing your weight is one of them. So you don't have to become obsessed and you don't have to be teeny tiny and you don't have to be any crazy number, but it's definitely at a younger age to not be scared of it. And definitely, you know, group support, whether it's a registered dietitian or it's being part of a community, that can definitely help with accountability as well.
That's actually a really great segue into my next question, which is all around like, what are some of your favorite dietary substitutions? So I've sort of broken these out into our traditional categories. The first one being, if you're craving something sweet, what is like your go-to substitution for that?
I have something called my Wonder Whips, which I'm obsessed with. If you take 0 to 2% Greek yogurt and you mix it with peanut butter powder or cocoa powder and some stevia and you whip it together, it really tastes like a peanut butter cheesecake or a chocolate cheesecake. And it's super delicious. You could do that with like dipped in strawberries or sprinkle of like bran flakes or something for crunch. But I love those like deconstructed cheesecakes I make. Also, I really love things like Halo Top and smoothie bowls and things like that. Dark chocolate is great, but I tend to love volume. So 1 square, 2 squares of dark chocolate don't really do it for me as much as something like a dark chocolate, protein bar or big smoothie or, you know, paired with maybe like a larger hot coffee. But I always say if it's not chocolate, it's not worth it. That's just me. My husband's more of a gummy guy, in which there's different suggestions for that.
How about when someone's craving chips or just like trying to satisfy that really salty craving?
There's so many good snacks now. It's honestly, it's never been an easier time to lose weight. Between cauliflower crust, pizzas and cauliflower rice and spaghetti squash and all this stuff, it's just such an easy time to lose weight. And there's such good products out there. I'm staring at one. They used to me schoolyard snacks. They're really good. Magic Spoon cereal is really impressive. I like this brand called Kay's, K-A-Y-S. There's a brand called Pig Out, and they're also really high protein. So the goal if you're trying to eat something salty and crunchy is to make sure there's at least some protein and fiber in there, because salty and crunchy in and of itself could be highly addictive. But if there's some protein and fiber in there helping you get full, then you're less likely to eat as many, and you're much better off in terms of stabilizing your blood sugar response, which can help prevent weight gain.
And then my last one I really had written down for this segment is, you know, when you're craving carbs, when you want that pasta satisfaction or that loaf of bread, whatever that may be. I know we mentioned like rice, cauliflower rice is a great substitute always. So would love to hear your carb replacement thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time we're just using them as vehicles to eat loads of sauce or loads of cheese or loads of butter and salt or whatever it is. So I really recommend you go for the veggie-based alternatives. It's such a big improvement for your overall health and definitely your weight loss or weight management. I love spaghetti squash. It's my favorite. You can make it in the microwave, so you could do it at any age and any stage. Zucchini noodles are good. They're a little watery when you buy them on your own. Palmini pasta is a really decent choice, the hearts of palm pasta. I can't shake off the flavor. It literally tastes too much like hearts of palm for me, but people say it's great if you soak them in milk first. So those are all great for that. I cannot tell you, I tried a new recipe this week and it blew my absolute mind for bread. It's called cloud bread and it actually changed my whole life. You take 2 egg whites or 4 egg whites and you beat them. So I actually had to get a beater, like an electric mixer, because I don't have the arm power to want to do that. But if you literally froth up egg whites and then you stir in a little cornstarch, you could just Google cloud bread. There are plenty of recipes. It's insane that this thing that's so high in protein, low in calories, literally takes on bread-like qualities. I was dipping it in like hummus and scooping up like the bottom of my plate with it. It was so good. So cloud bread is great. And then there are also just great bread brands out there now, like Dave's Killer Bread. The thin slices are super satisfying. Just make sure you're choosing a bread with more fiber, like at least 2-3 grams.
You know, I think a lot of people on this podcast are probably just starting to diet or just starting to even think about, you know, how can I begin my weight loss journey? They haven't tipped the scale on that yet. So how do you recommend people, first of all, go about just making that initial jump? And then are you also suggesting people pair, you know, some of these dieting tactics with exercise? Or are you saying, you know, get the nutrition down first, and then once you're feeling confident and good in what you're eating, then add in some exercise factors?
Listen, you're my favorite population to speak to. That's why I have 1.4 million followers on TikTok. I love helping people when they're young so you don't have to get in the horrible swing of fad diets as you get older. My best recommendation is, one, never see exercise as a weight loss tool. Food is everything. Exercise is extra credit. I worked out the entire time on my 100-pound weight loss journey. You're not going to tick the needle. You're not going to see great long-term success unless you get your nutrition right, and everyone knows that. And don't pretend. And anytime I see anyone frustrated with their weight loss results, it's always because they're like agonizing themselves in their workout. So make sure that you have a positive mindset, focusing on your nutrition, and don't overwhelm yourself with exercise, especially if you have a lot of weight to lose like I did. You know, exercise isn't that fun when you're like bouncing and not feeling great about yourself. Make sure that you're focused on your nutrition first. Start getting into a really good place and system and seeing results there, and then you'll want to work out. And when it comes to working out, you want to do things that you enjoy. It doesn't have to be super intense or crazy. You just want to do something that's consistent. Yoga, walking is plenty good. It doesn't have to be crazy. And then when it comes to what program you should do, honestly, I cannot say it enough. I really recommend looking into my program I have with Beachbody. The sooner you understand my system and you do it well, the sooner you just have it for life and never have to make your weight and nutrition an issue, because you don't have to count calories. You don't have to count macros. You don't have to cut everything out. I basically only give you advice that not only works, but it's something that you're going to want to do in 10 years from now. So anything that's like, I'm going to cut this out, I'm only going to get this food delivery and all these things, just know, do you see that happening for you when you have 5 kids running around you or a crazy job? Probably not. So everything you do needs to be simple, sensible, and sustainable, and come in with this like positive mindset rather than these like negative restricting zones, which sure, they can help you lose weight short term, as can mine, But long term, you're always going to gain it back. Those things always fail. If you are not going to lose weight with my program, that's totally fine. But you should always be looking out for two things when taking nutrition and weight loss advice. One is, does the person have credentials? Is the person a registered dietitian? Is the person have a master's degree in nutrition? Are they coming at you with evidence-based work, or are they just telling you to drink like the same shake three times a day so you like suffer and you see the pounds come off and then your relationship with food suffers in the process? And also with credibility comes results, right? So if you're going to be taking weight loss advice, it's probably a good idea to be taking it from someone who actually lost weight and kept it off themselves. So that's also just another thing to think about.
Moving into this next question here, how much water do you think people should be consuming every day? You know, people are walking around with those big jugs of water in their work from home lifestyle. Just wanted to get your perspective on that.
More water, more weight loss, water first, veggies most. You can't drink enough water. A lot of people are like, but can't you drink too much water? If you speak to any doctor or medical professional, they're always going to be more concerned a person is drinking too little than too much. You should definitely make sure you're hitting your minimum water goal per day, which I always say is half your weight in ounces per day. So if you weigh 150 pounds, then that's 75 ounces a day. Just, you know, based on whether you're drinking a 16-ounce water bottle or a 30-ounce water bottle, you know, make sure you're getting the 75 ounces of water a day if you weigh 150 pounds. Having a system with water is one of the best things you can do in establishing your 20s. And when I say system, it's like, okay, so let's say you have a goal to drink three of your water bottles a day, you know, having one before lunch, having one before dinner, having one by the time you go to sleep, things like that. That is a wonderful, wonderful goal to have for not only like long-term health improvement and weight control, but also just energy and immunity and all the other benefits that come with drinking water.
What are your thoughts on dieting but still drinking alcohol?
I was in a sorority in college. I pledged, I drank, I do it all to this day. Anytime I can get a date night and a babysitter, we are out, we are drinking. So I am not taking away anyone's alcohol, anyone's coffee. Everyone's got to do their own thing there and just make the best choices they can. When it comes to alcohol, your best move is getting a good palate for something as simple as like vodka, tequila, soda, you know, with a splash of juice rather than full juice. When you're at a bar and it says agave on the menu or agave syrup, simple syrup in the order, I always say little to none of that. Try to really cut out the sugar additives to the alcohol. Alcohol itself breaks down similarly to sugar. Alcohol itself is high in calories and it can make you more mindless of an eater. So mixing it with lots of sugar, lots of artificial sweeteners, and all those things is definitely trouble. So I recommend if you want something fruity to drink with it, they do make some all natural water enhancers that you can add to like club soda, or you can get like flavored. I work with SodaStream. They have all these new bubbly SodaStream flavors. Trying to get less of a sweet palate for your alcohol drinks would be really worthwhile. And you definitely want to treat things like beer or the alcoholic canned drinks and all of those things like they actually are treats. Like you want maybe two or three or whatever it is, but make sure you're not treating them like water. And a great piece of advice when you are drinking is to make sure that you're always starting with water first, like 16 ounces of water first before you have your alcohol, but then also alternate. So every time you have a cocktail, you go back to a huge glass of water. Then you have a cocktail, go back to a huge glass of water. This has transformed my migraine game. You definitely want to be making sure that you're drinking water first before your cocktails and in between every drink you have.
And then Alana, I end every podcast with a segment about pet peeves. So talking about pet peeves relative to the subject we've been talking about. So today, you know, I would love to hear one or two of your pet peeves you have, either about being a nutritionist or weight loss, whatever it may be. Would love to hear them.
My biggest pet peeve is a comment I get on my TikTok videos all the time, which is, dude, just be in a calorie deficit and everything will be okay. And it's not true. Calories are not created equal. It only focusing on calories long-term is not a setup for best health. Mental health and your relationship with food And also in just making sure you're getting all the nutrients you want every day for like ultimate, you know, overall health and disease risk prevention and so forth. It's not, everything is not about a calorie deficit. And when people obsess over calorie deficit, they definitely lose weight, but they always hit a plateau or hit a wall and then have a hard time like figuring out those adjustments, because then they get into the state where they just keep lowering their calories more and more and more, and they don't realize what's going on. So the whole line of, dude, everything in a calorie deficit, I find to be really annoying, just because that's something I hear on TikTok constantly.
Okay, Alana, well, this was really great. We can go ahead, wrap up the podcast, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on and taking time out of your day to record with me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, go to our Instagram, follow us, give us a like, give us a shout out, tell your mom, tell your grandma, and leave us a comment. Thanks for joining us.